Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Not everybody got that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. From time to time, we take up the challenge, and I preach on just specifically the Word of God. And it really can be done every Sunday. But I think as we approach summer, I just want to encourage the church family, let's remember the Word of God this summer. In fact, for many of us, including myself, it is a time when we have a little more time than normal. And I want to encourage you and remind you that it's the Word of God is where we get our food, our spiritual food. And don't allow yourself to get in the habit this summer of just setting the Word of God aside. I know vacations and things come. In fact, I would encourage you on vacation, and I've tried to practice this myself, is it's really a time that you should be able to get a little more into the Word and maybe get alone a little bit during your vacation and spend some time in the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." It is the Word of God that will prosper you. It's the Word of God that will bring success in your life. We'll reference another verse in just a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time we can come and worship You. We praise You and thank You for the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to hold it dear, to reverence it, Lord, to just meditate upon it, to think upon it. We ask, Lord, that You would help us to obey it. Lord, we are looking forward to Your return. Help us to live in light of it. Lord, we look forward to that blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen. When we accept Christ as our Savior, His power becomes available to us. 1 John 4:4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." The sermon, I'm actually working on a sermon of Romans chapter 8. And look forward here in 2 or 3 weeks. I'll preach that. I'm going to go back and preach some of the great chapters of the Bible. J. Frank Norris said that Romans chapter 8 was the greatest chapter in the Bible. And Romans chapter 8, it talks about being an overcomer. And let me tell you tonight that we, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can be overcomers. That through Christ, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Through Christ, we can do anything. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen tonight, we can live the greater Christian life. And during the 50s, during Norris's time, during the 20s, 30s, and 40s, it was referred to as the overcoming life. The overcoming life. Or it's referred to in many the Spirit-filled life, the victorious Christian life. But these are areas in which we as Christians are striving to live in. That victorious Christian life, Hebrews describes it as the land of rest. And how do we do that? In order to overcome sinful habits in our life, in order to grow in righteousness, in order to obtain guidance and to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, we must act upon the Word of God. We must act upon it. Not just read it, but act upon it. And we must act upon it in faith. In faith. We say, how can we have faith in a book? It's not just a book. It's God's Word. And we can put our faith in it. In fact, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we read the Word of God, our faith grows. And so if we ought to live that Christian life, we ought to live that victorious Christian life, a life that is a righteous life, a good life, a biblical life, we must think upon and requires us to read the Word of God. And the power to live the Christian life is found in His Word. If we don't read it, if we don't heed it, then we can't live it. Amen? We have to do so. The Bible requires us to be holy and therefore gives us the guidelines to do so. The Bible has the answer for everything. Every question you have in life can be answered in the Bible. Whether it's being how to be a father or mother, whether it's financial guidance, whatever area, the Bible has the answer. And again, let's take some time this summer and do three things tonight as we think about it. Number one, let's reverence the Bible. Reverence the Bible and teach our children to reverence the Bible. Again, that word reverence means to regard with affection and awe. To regard with affection and awe. Paul warns us that perilous times are going to come. And we use that reference a lot lately. But we understand that from 2 Timothy chapter 3 that perilous times are coming, dangerous times are here. We live in a society where wholesale iniquity is on the onslaught, wholesale hypocrisy, wholesale apostasy, wholesale persecution, all four of these we see in our lives today and in America today. Turn over to 2 Timothy, a very familiar passage. Perilous times are here. What are we to do? Well, we're to hold on to the Word of God. We're to hold on to it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and a very familiar passage, as I said. Look with me in chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." So verse 15 gives us the key to victory. Even during bad situations, during terrible times, during perilous times, the key to victory is the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scripture. Why? Because they make us wise. Wise how? Wise unto salvation. Wise unto salvation. The key to the subject of the Scriptures, the key to the whole entire Bible is found in that salvation is found how? Through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. Look at verse 16. All Scripture, not some, not part, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We'll take just a little time here and say the Scriptures are absolutely inspired by God. All Scripture, not part of it. I hold in my hand today the Word of God. That word inspired means God breathed. This is the very words of God. I hold my Bible. I hold in my hand the King James Version of the Bible because I believe it is the preserved word in the English language today. I believe it is the preserved word. I believe this Bible from cover to cover. I even believe the cover that says Holy Bible. Yeah, right there. I believe this Bible is without error. I believe it. I have faith in it. I believe that it's without error, and therefore, if I believe the King James Bible is without error, then many of the other translations have errors in them. Because this translation doesn't match the other translations. Amen? Amen. I haven't said this in a long time. Let me say it tonight. One has to be right, one has to be wrong. You just got to make the choice. Amen? Not everybody can be right. And so, we hold in our hand the Word of God, the inspired, the inerrant, Word of God, God breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Let me just tell you, the key, one of the code words in the contemporary movement today is the word relevant. And I get sick and tired of seeing the little cards that says we are relevant. And they're trying, and conversely, they're saying that those old traditional Baptists are not. Absolutely, we're relevant because the Word of God is relevant. Amen? The Word of God is relevant. If you're not teaching the Bible, you're not relevant. I would say it's the opposite. Many of them are not teaching the Bible. They're not relevant. Amen? Relevant. It's profitable for us. It's profitable for us. And so it's absolutely profitable to be an advantage for, to gain by. It is. We gain, we profit by reading the Word of God. We gain by it. Not only do we, is it profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine simply means teachings. Teachings. It's also profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That means rebuke. Rebuke. To tell someone severely that his conduct or her conduct or action is wrong or unsatisfactory. The Bible is profitable. We gain by its doctrine. We gain by its rebuke. We gain by it. How many of y'all would say, growing up in a home that you, if you had a home like mine, let me just say, the home I grew up in, I profited by being rebuked. Amen? A child that's not rebuked will go their own way and just meander around. We gain by being rebuked. The Word of God is profitable. We gain by being reproved by it. Not only is it profitable for doctrine, for reproof, but for correction. For correction. It corrects us to put right. Not only does it rebuke us, but it puts us right. It steers us right, back over into the right direction. Tells us what's right. Tells us to get right. And then lastly, for instruction in righteousness. Tells us how to stay right. I don't just want to get right, I want to stay right. And the Word of God gives us a lamp into our, a light, a lamp into our feet and light into our path. This helps tells us how to stay right. Oh, to stay right with God. To live close to Him. He doesn't move, we move. But this is what steers us. This is what guides us. This is our roadmap. We need to reverence it. We need to stand in awe of it just a little bit more than we do. The God-breathed book, the Word of God. The Word of God enables us to grow into that man, verse 17 says, that perfect or complete person, complete man. And it's by the Word of God. All right, let's turn to another reference, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're to reverence the Word of God. We need to have the proper attitude towards the Word of God. And it ought to be one of reverence. Today we live in a society that's very flippant about God. I know one former pastor used to talk about he couldn't stand when somebody said, "Let's kicking the Lord through the goalposts of heaven," or talking about the man upstairs, using flippant references to God. There's a poster, there's a road sign if you drive from Decatur into Fort Worth. It's right outside of Decatur, and it has a God and a man fist bumping. Yeah, it says, "I got your back." Oh my goodness. You know, what an irreverent reference to our God. Amen? We need to be careful. The same thing with the Word of God. We need to reverence the Word of God, just as we reverence the house of God. Look at there with me in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty." They saw Him. They touched Him. They saw the miracles He performed. They saw all these things. Verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" They heard Him. They heard God say that. "And this voice was came from heaven. We heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." If that's not underlining your Bible, it needs to be. You need to underline that little phrase in your Bible. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of God, by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Listen tonight, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What does that mean, Pastor? It means this. It means Peter is telling us that though they handled Jesus Christ, and though they saw the miracles He performed, and though they heard the voice of God from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," Peter says that you hold in your lap tonight a more sure word of prophecy. He's saying you have it better. He's saying we have it better. That what we hold in our lap is better than being able to handle Jesus Christ, to be able to see His miracles. That what we hold in our lap is better than hearing the voice of God. That's what it says, right? A more sure word of prophecy. Boy, we need to revere it. We need to hold it a little closer. We need to love it a little more. Amen? The Word of God, a more sure word of prophecy. We rely upon the Word of God. It's more sure than our senses, more sure than our feelings, more sure than the preacher, more sure than any prayer book, more sure than any book written by some author. It's the Word of God, written by 40 different men over 1,600 years without any errors in its entirety. Accurate in every area, historically, scientifically, the Word of God. By the way, verse 20 says it's of no private interpretation. Many today trying to twist the Word of God to make it fit what they believe. I get a kick out of it, and I have some commentaries I enjoy reading. And I benefit by those, and I enjoy reading, so therefore I just enjoy it. But I have several commentaries in my library that when I pull them out and begin to study and look through them, that they will twist the Word of God and use a different translation in order to back up their argument. So they'll do away with the King James. They'll bring in a different version that matches what they're trying to say. It just bugs me. And I get real close to wanting to burn it and put a pipe bomb inside of it and mail it to somebody. No, I'm just kidding. Shouldn't say that on the internet. But it really, it'll tick me off. But, man, I'll say, no, man, this guy's good in other places. I can chew the meat and spit the bones out. Amen? And we have to be careful. But it's amazing how they can twist the Scripture. You know, we must understand the Bible's of no private interpretation. I hear many times people say, well, that's what you think it says. Well, we must be very careful. When it comes to key doctrinal, the fundamentals of the faith, absolutely there's no private interpretation. You don't have your opinion than I have, and I have my opinion in regards to salvation by grace through faith. Amen. The Word of God is described in Psalm 119. Let's turn over there. And boy, it's been a while since we've turned to Psalm 119. And what a great, great chapter. Whole chapter about the Word of God. Psalm 119. The Word of God is described. Let's look at several verses. The Word of God is described as my delight and my counselor. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. Look at verse 72. Verse 72. The law of my mouth is better. I'm sorry. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. The Word of God is described as being better than gold and silver. I wonder how many of us, if we were given the option of gold and silver and the Word of God, I guess it would be dictated by the circumstance. If I could still go buy one, it'd be different, you know. But what if you were given the option of having material things or a Bible? The psalmist says the Bible's far greater than silver or gold. Look at verse 89. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's the same today, yesterday, and forever, like Jesus Christ. Verse 138. Again, we could spend a lot of time here. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. The Word of God, the commandments of God, the testimonies of God are righteous. They're right. Very faithful. Look at 140. Verse 140. Thy Word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. The Word of God is pure. Without error. We ought to love it. 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law, that's talking about the Word, is the truth. Truth from cover to cover. And then one we quote a lot, 160. The Word is true from beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Endureth forever. The Word of God is preserved forever. Amen. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. The Word of God. It's amazing. I talk about Brother House and how he's able to yield the sword so well. And he can take the sword and stab you and make you laugh about it. It's just amazing to me. He has such a great way about using the Word of God as a way to rebuke, right, reproof, but putting enough salve on it to make it feel all right sometimes, right? Listen, the Word of God is there. It pierces. It divides asunder of the joints of the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 35. Go back to verse 35. So the Word of God is described as a delight, counselor, gold and silver, righteous and faithful and pure and true, enduring forever. It's described as a one that is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it pierces us, it convicts us. And then our attitude towards the Word of God should be what? And verse 35 says, look there with me, says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Our attitude of the Word of God should be one of delight. Look at verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Our attitude towards the Word of God should be one of trust. No matter what comes our way, no matter, you know, some people say, well, there's contradiction in the Bible. J. Frank Norris should say, well, they're the contradiction. There is no contradiction in the Bible. You can trust the Bible. Verse 62, the Bible says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. We should have an attitude of the Word of God of being thankful. Rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy law, because of the Bible. We ought to be thankful. You know, sometimes I believe we take for granted and we don't hold the Word of God close enough, realizing and understanding that God didn't have to do any of this. What if there was a God who never spoke? What if there was a God, but He never wrote to us? What if there was a God, but He didn't communicate with us? But yet He did. He did. And we ought to take great delight in the communication He has given us. What you hold in your lap. We ought to trust in the communication that God has given to us. We ought to be thankful for Him and respect the Word of God. Verse 164. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. And verse 167, my soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. Our attitude towards the Word of God should be one of love. Do you love the Word of God tonight? I've told you before, I'll tell you again tonight, and all of us need to look inward tonight, but if you don't love the Word of God, then it means your appetite. You've lost your appetite. I don't know about you, but very seldom, but sometimes when I get sick, I lose my appetite. Even then, when I'm hungry, I still eat. But we do the same thing in our spiritual lives. Sometimes when we allow ourselves to go backwards spiritually, we lose our spiritual appetite. And sometimes when we come back to the table to eat, sometimes it's pretty rough. Sometimes the Word of God isn't as sweet as it used to be. What I'm saying is sometimes we have to take care, love the Word of God, and redevelop the appetite for the Word of God. That's why we bring Brother Stewart in. I know of no preacher, pastor, who has a greater love for the Word of God than Jonathan Stewart. And I love to bring him in because I know that enthusiasm and that appetite he has a way, and the Lord's blessed him in that way, to just enables him to put that across to people and for them to renew their appetite for the Word of God. And what I'm saying is, if that love for the Word of God is not there, then you need to sit down, open the Word of God, and read it, and read it, and read it, and read it, and redevelop an appetite for the Word of God. Pray the Lord to open your eyes. Pray the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and give you understanding as you're reading, and to give you what He would have to communicate to you through the Word of God. Let's keep that reverence for the Word of God over the summer. Let's love the Word of God. Let's don't set it aside. Let's let the day star, as we read the Word of God, the day star, Jesus Christ, arises in our hearts as we grow in Him. Let's don't lay the Bible down on the book, on the fireplace mantle and just leave it there over the summer. But take time to read it. I know it's difficult for us. Even during the school year, it's difficult for us to maintain a good family devotional time with our kids. And we are challenged from time to time. We have to come back and say, okay, here we go again, and here we go again, and keep that emphasis upon it. I know in the summer it's really, really tough with our children and maybe with your grandchildren, but take the time. When you are at home together, take the time to reverence and teach your children and grandchildren to love the Word of God. No one should we reverence the Word of God, but we should obey it. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. And I have many other scriptures, but we won't go into it. We ought to obey the Word of God. To simply read it and not obey it gets us nowhere spiritually. As I said when I first started, it's to be an overcomer in your Christian life, to be victorious in your Christian life. You not only have to read the Word of God, but you have to take action upon what you read. You have to obey the Word of God. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, write it down. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something when you're reading the Word of God, obey obey that conviction. God is not and will not put upon us more than we are able to handle. 1 Corinthians tells us He will not ask us to do anything that He will not supply the strength to do. And when He tells us to be holy, for He is holy, then He's given us the power to do so. Amen? Amen. If He's telling us we can overcome, then we can overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my absence only, but now much more in my presence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." He's not saying work to get salvation, but he's saying work it out. Work it out with fear and trembling. The Lord is working on us every day, achieving His purpose to conform us to the image of His Son. And we need to work that salvation out. We need to work it out. We need to strive to live for Him, to do for Him. Why? Because it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's keep His commandments. And lastly, we need to depend upon the Word of God. Luke chapter 21, verse 33, the Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." We need to remember that we can depend upon the word of God because it endureth forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will not. O Lord, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When all else fails, this won't. I'll never forget. I know I learned it when I was a kid, but it really was made clear to me in Bible college. And that is, sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. Amen? Let's reverence the Word of God. Let's love it. Let's obey it when it convicts us, when it talks to us, when it says, "Hey, you're not living right, you're not doing right." Obey it. And then depend upon it and trust it. When all the trials of this life come our way, we can depend upon the Word of God because it's everlasting. It brings salvation. It brings light. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." If we are to reverence the Word of God, if we are to obey it, if we are to depend upon it, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will do that for us in our life. Let's be overcomers this summer. Amen? Let's look back when we come back in the end of August and school gets started back. Won't be long. Right, kids? Woohoo! Kids go back to school. Let's look back over the summer and say, you know what? I'm closer to God 3 months later than I was when we started. Amen? Let's all stand. We'll have a verse.